right, as they are leaving, go ahead and grab your Bibles, if you would, and turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, again, said this a bunch of times already, we'll say it again. Of course, today is a special day that we remember our veterans for their service. It's because of men and women who were willing to go and serve our country that we have the freedoms we have today. And as I think about that, that's where we're going to be in our Bibles today. We're going to be talking about freedom. Okay, and it's going to be a different situation than talking about the freedom we enjoy in our countries, but the freedom that we have in Christ. And as we look at that this morning, I'm reminded in John chapter 8 of how Jesus came for that very purpose, how he tried to encourage those while he was here and to lead those in the right direction. In chapter 8, where we're going to be this morning, Jesus is in the temple and he is talking to the Pharisees, and he's talking to them about that he is the light. He's referring or teaching them or trying to teach them that he is of God. And, of course, they're rebuking him. They say, well, you're just testifying of yourself. And Jesus explained to him that his Father testifies of him as well. So there's two of them, two witnesses. And so they have to be true. And he goes on and he's teaching them. I'm going to begin reading in verse 20, John chapter 8, verse 20. I'm going to ask you to stand if you can. If you don't, that's fine. But those who can stand, please do so. And we're going to read down to verse 44 this morning. Beginning in verse 20, it says, "These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Let's stop there and have a word of prayer. Father, again, we do thank you for your words this morning. We pray now that you would help each one of us to understand what it means to be free. True freedom. Not just be living in America, a country that we claim as free, but to be living in the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray now that you would guide and direct in the next few moments. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated. We're running a little bit late here, but we'll see how it goes. Done a lot of things today, but I want to share with you, the message is entitled, To Be Free Indeed, and it comes from our text here this morning. And there are basically three things that we are talking about, and that is free from spiritual death, free from self-destruction, and free from Satan's deception. Those three things we'll see as we look at this passage this morning, that those things are the things that we struggle with as Christians today, and we just want to look at those and see what we can, how we can have victory through those. So first, free from spiritual death. You know, in verse 20, we read down to verse 30, and we see Jesus is talking to them how to be free. And what he was talking about is they had to know and understand that it was God that would make them free, and specifically, it was Jesus who came to do that very task. This is not something new. This is not something that it's just been heard for the first time. He is teaching him, Jesus is teaching these folks, these Jews and Pharisees, God's plan for their salvation. And he said that God had a plan. And this plan is a plan that is only one. There's not many. There's not three. There's not five. There's only one way to be reconciled to God, and that is through Jesus Christ who died on the cross. And so Jesus is trying to make that clear to these folks. Remember, the Jews have been blinded by their pride, been blinded by the fact that they're following the law or trying to keep the law, which no man can, but yet they think they are doing that. And so for them, it's very hard to see, and so it's hard for them to understand how they can be free from spiritual death. In fact, they made that statement, says, why do we need to be free? We're of the children of Abraham. We don't need to be free. But here, he's trying to get them to see who he is, and the fact is Jesus Christ is God. And God is the I Am. He is the one single most important Almighty God in heaven who knows everything, sees everything, never changes. He's a God that's there that wants to help us. He's the creator of all things. He created us, and he wants us to have fellowship with him. And that's the whole goal here. See, the fact is, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam disobeyed God by taking of that fruit, he put man into a position of sin. And God wanted Adam and Eve to be in fellowship with him all the time. But because they chose and he gave them that choice, they made that decision. Of course, the serpent who was subtle could deceived Eve, and she gave to Adam and he disobeyed. But because of that, we're all sinners. And so Jesus is trying to point that out here to those that are Jews, these folks that have a hard time understanding these things because they're spiritually blind. Because they are God's people, they cannot see these things. But this plan that God had was something he had from the very beginning. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, it says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold," and remember, Peter is sharing this, "from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Peter is saying it was foreordained. It was already predetermined. It was going to happen. It was already planned that God had this plan that he would reconcile men to himself. And that plan was Jesus Christ. And it was before the foundation, before the conception of this whole plan, God put it all together. Now, again, ask me if I understand that. Ask me how can I reconcile that in my mind. I can only tell you that I am not God. And God is God. I cannot understand how he thinks apart from the Bible. I can only believe and trust what he says is true. And that's where faith comes in. The fact is, if I try to reconcile it in my mind, which is not very intelligent, let's put it that way, especially compared to God, that I would never be able to resolve this. How can you have free will and yet God be sovereign? How can God already know everything and yet still give me a choice? I don't really understand that other than God can do it. We live in a three-dimensional world. That's the way we see things. And so based on what we know and what we see, we decide and determine how things should be. Sometimes we want to take God, yank him out of heaven, and put him down here in our little box and say, okay, God, I understand you. But the fact is, we can't do that. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. We cannot even comprehend him and understand these things, but yet they are true. And so before the foundation of the world, God's plan was to send Jesus. That freedom was communicated by God many times. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, he says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Even though man, Adam and Eve, committed this sin, God still had a plan to redeem them. He still had a way that he was going to bring these people back, all people, back to him. And the plan was that as God is speaking here in Genesis 3:15, he's talking to the serpent, he said that he would put enmity between him and the woman's seed. And then he would tell us that his head would be bruised, and that the woman's seed's heel would be bruised. And that whole thing, as you have studied the Bible and learned some of these things, you realize that's talking about Jesus and Satan. Satan's head's going to be bruised. One day he's going to be in the pit and, the lake of fire, and that's going to be the end of him. Jesus' heel was bruised when he went to the cross and he died. But he didn't stay dead, did he? No, he was buried and he rose again the third day, and he lives today on the right hand of God the Father. That's the difference. And God communicated that many times. We're not going to go there, but the book of Isaiah, chapter 52, it really just points out clearly, especially looking from this side of it, you can see Jesus Christ in that whole chapter of what the plan was. And the Jews had that. The Pharisees had that. And yet they were blinded to these facts. But the fact is, not only was freedom communicated by God, but freedom was also completed by God. And how did he do that? In Romans 5:12, we see, wherefore is by one man sin in the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. What it's talking about is that we have no choice in this. It is by our birth. It's innate. It's who we are. It's because of Adam's sin. It says we've all sinned. And Job chapter 15, verse 14 says, what is man that he should be clean? And he which is born of a woman, that he should be righteous. We aren't, are we not? Everyone born and brought into this world is a sinner. Every single person who has breath in their lungs is a sinner. There's not one. No, not one. Right? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So here we see that God's plan is specific. He sent Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. It says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what Jesus came to do. We remember that, and I quote that verse very often in Luke chapter 19. When Jesus met Zacchaeus, he said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. That was the whole purpose of God's plan from the foundation of the world, was to send Jesus to die on the cross to redeem sinners, such as I am, that I might have a relationship and fellowship with the Holy God. And that is so important because that frees us. It frees us from spiritual death. You see, everybody's going to face death unless the Lord comes back, the physical death. Everybody will. But people who do not know Christ as their Savior, they're also going to face a spiritual death. Forever and ever and ever, apart from God. But those that are born again, the second birth, they will never face a spiritual death. Only one possible death, and that's the physical death. It's kind of strange. Born once, two deaths. Born twice, one death. And we get to make the choice. Because Jesus, when He was on the cross, He said those last words in John. He said, it is finished. God completed that plan. And what He did was He gave us freedom from spiritual death. Anybody who will put their faith and trust in His plan, they can be saved. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What does that really mean? Well, it means exactly what it says. It means that if we never come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, come to the knowledge that we're sinners and don't deserve to have a relationship with God because He's holy, and realize the fact is, I can't do anything to save myself. Then we confess our sin. We ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. And when we do that, believing in our heart, that's important because the devils believe and tremble, but it's Jesus Christ you have to put your faith in, what He did on the cross, then you can be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it tells us in Romans chapter 10 that we can have to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God hath raised Him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. And so it's so important to understand that concept because that's the only way we'll have freedom from spiritual death. Anybody say amen? Anybody say, I want that? I hope everybody has it, but if you don't, you need to think about that because today is the day of salvation. Today is the day you need to make that decision. We don't know what another day will bring forth. Nobody in this room knows that. I could walk out today and slip on that ice, hit my head, and be gone just like that. That could happen. God knows all about it, but it could happen. And whatever decision I made before that happened is going to be the final decision. If I didn't trust Christ as my Savior, then I'm going to be doomed. Doomed to a place called hell. But if I did, to be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. That quick. But it's a choice that we have to make. Spiritual, free from spiritual death. We need to accept Christ as our Savior. He's given us that opportunity. But then also, free from self-destruction. Turn to your Bibles in James, if you would. Turn over to James chapter 1, I think. James chapter 1. Right after the book of Hebrews and before 1 Peter. James chapter 1. Today we want to be free from our self-destruction. Here in James chapter 1, look at verse 13, it says, James chapter 1, verse 13. All right. Verse 13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own self-destruction, own lust, and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." He says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." He's talking to Christians here. He's saying, when we are allowing ourselves to be tempted because of our own desires, our own lust, that's when we're going to find ourselves in a place away from God. That's when the destruction comes. And it's self-destruction. We chose that. How do we choose that? We chose it by just accepting what the world has to offer. We turned our back on what God's plan is, and we said, "I'll just do it my way." Frank Sinatra is famous for doing things his way. We don't want to go his way. We want to go God's way. And Jesus told us in John chapter 8, He says, "The truth shall make you free." So if we don't want to self-destruct, we want to be free from that, we want to know what the truth is because it will make us free. The truth of salvation sets us free from spiritual death. The truth of God's Word frees us from wrong thinking. God knows each one of us intimately in this room today, and He uses the Word of God to direct all of us. You say, "Really? What if I'm not a Christian?" God uses the Word of God to direct everybody. And what I mean by that is if you're not saved, the Word of God will direct you into salvation. It will direct you into the fact that you're a sinner and you need the Lord. If you are saved, the Word of God will direct you on how to walk, how to think, and how to live this life. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder of joints and marrow, or soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." It knows our heart this very morning. The Spirit of God will direct us if we will allow Him. He will help us and keep us from self-destruction, or free us from self-destruction. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we gained a new nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." And what he's saying there is, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, you started walking in the direction of the Lord. You had desires to read your Bible. You had a desire to be with God's people. You had a desire to learn and put yourself under God's authority. You had that desire. When I got saved, that was my desire. Of course, I was in church already, so it made it a lot easier for me. Some people aren't in church. It makes it harder for them because they have to take that first step, which is going to church. Sometimes that's a big step, even for someone who just got saved. But that's what God desires to do in our lives, is to help us, to change us, to be like Him. We are these new creatures, and it's a continual action. We're continuing to learn. That transformation takes place our whole lifetime. Why? Because none of us have arrived yet. We still have something to learn. We still have to understand what God is trying to lead us. I've read the Bible over many, many times, and I still don't know probably a third of it. Maybe not even 16th of it. I don't know. But there's a whole lot that I'm learning now. And I'm saying, how did I miss it? I went through and read it. But you know what? God said, you're not ready for this yet. You can read the words and you can understand the history and you can understand some things about it. But God wants us to understand the deep things of God. And they come by comparing Scripture with Scripture. They come with meditation. They come with study. They come that we are willing to look to Him. In fact, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved. A work unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So for us to rightly divide this is to ask God to give us the direction. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it tells us that the natural man doesn't understand this. How do we understand it? Because we have the Spirit of God. And He will reveal those things to us. Why would He do that? So we would be free from self-destruction. So we wouldn't have to live a life that is apart from God. We want to see things from God's perspective. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it's talking about our minds need to be renewed. When you and I put our faith and trust in Christ, we became that new creature, we still had the same old mind. We had to learn some things. You know, it's weird because, it's just different, but when you get saved, it's amazing how many things you thought you knew or learned, you find out they were just the opposite of what God wants to teach you. I mean, it's completely different. And all of a sudden, you're walking this way, and you're thinking this way, and you start studying the Word of God, and your mind starts getting renewed, and all of a sudden you say, hold it. God wants me to go over here. And you start walking this way. And it's many different things. Over and over in your life, you will see this come to fruition. God will use this. He reveals His thoughts through His Word. And the Word of God changes our desires. Jesus said in verse 31 of John chapter 8, He said, if ye continue in My Word, then are ye My disciples indeed. See, there's a condition there. A disciple is someone who's going to continue in His Word. If we don't continue in His Word, we're not a disciple at all. Can a saved person not be a disciple? I think so. If someone gets saved and doesn't continue in the Word, there's a problem there. And I think it can happen. I don't think it happens as much as we think it does, though. I personally think there's a lot of people think they're saved and not. There's no fruit in their life. And the Bible tells you in John chapter 15, if you're a Christian, you'll have fruit. Now, it doesn't say how much, because it gives different amounts of fruit, but there should be some fruit in your life if you're saved. And so there are a lot of people who claim salvation and say, I said the prayer and I got saved, and never really did because they didn't really believe. How do we demonstrate we believe? If Jesus said, if you love me, that's how we do it. You continue in the Word and you continue to grow. And when we put it away and throw it down and we have no desire for it, we need to get a checkup. We need to go back to the very basics. Go back and see, well, I said this prayer. Did I really get saved? Now, I'm not trying to cause anybody to think they're not saved. You know, I personally believe you know that you're saved. You should anyway. And if you don't, get in the Word of God and prove it. In other words, start studying the Bible and find out if you are saved or not. You know why? Because when you read this, it will tell you. Because you'll go, I don't believe that. I don't agree with that. I don't want to do that. You'll realize that your spirit is not lining up with the Spirit of God. That's how you know you're not saved, because you don't have the Spirit of God. So here it's clear that we don't want to live a life of self-destruction, even as a Christian. So how do we do that? We get freedom from that by just changing, having our minds renewed, and following the Lord. In Romans 8, 5, and 6, it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So there you have it, right there. That's cut and dry. For those that are just concentrating on the things of the world, get this, get that, and do all these things, that's the flesh. Okay? But the Spirit is what this is. What does Jesus say? What did Jesus come to do? You remember what He told His 12 disciples when they were sent out? Do you remember what He told them? Take no script, no food, no extra change of clothes or coat or any of that. Just go. And He said, you'll be provided for. That's a whole different lifestyle than I have. Right? Well, they were following Christ. This is what I've got to learn. What does it mean? Now, I'm not telling you to go sell everything you own just yet, unless the Lord tells you to. But but listen to Him if He does. It's important. The very thing when we accepted Christ, we received the love of Christ. It's that very love that motivates us, that constraineth us, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And that's the very love that God has done in our lives to motivate us to serve Him. Now, it's all at different degrees, and I know that. But we got to be careful that we don't make excuses either. If we don't read our Bible, we can't make the excuse, well, I just don't know what God says. Because you didn't read. You didn't go find out. If you got one of these, you ought to open it. Right? Do I hear amen to that? Yeah. We ought to open it and find out what God says. You know, me sitting in the woods praying, dear God, please send this or do this or whatever, that is not going to be the answer. That's what I'm trying to do is petition God. But now I got to go find the answer. Here. There's the answer. It's in here. And I got to go find it. Those that seek Him early, the Bible says, will find Him. And that's the important thing, is being in here to understand. That's going to help us not to self-destruct. Jesus said this, and I've said this many times. Of course, it's the Bible. I'm not saying it. Jesus said in John chapter 10, He says, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of My sheep, as I said unto you, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." And so what is He saying there? He's saying, look, you people don't follow Me. You're not listening to Me. You are not of My fold. Can it get any clearer to us than that? Do we have to try to figure out what that means, or do we really understand? If you're following Christ, if you're listening to Him, you're hearing Him, then you're a sheep, okay? You believe, you trust, you want to know more of Him. You're persuaded in your heart and mind. You have confidence that God has saved you and He wants to do a work in your life. But if you're not, and you have no desire to follow Him, chances are you're not one of His sheep. It can't get any simpler than that. Remember the rich young ruler? He went to Jesus and said, "Good Master, what should I do to inherit kingdom?" Of course, Jesus told him, says, nobody's good but God. When He told him that, what was He telling him? He says, He's basically saying, I am God. And He told him, says, if you keep the commandments, He listed five or six off and to this rich young ruler, and he said, oh, I've kept all of those. And so he, in his mind, he's thinking, man, I got this nailed. I did that. I did that. I didn't commit adultery. I didn't steal, cheat, lie, and all these things. I did follow God in his mind. But Jesus said to him in Mark chapter 10, verse 21, says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. I want you to know that Jesus loves everybody. I don't care who you are or where you are in this world. Jesus loves you. Lost on your way to hell, Jesus loves you. Christian, carnal, Jesus loves you. Walking with God is close, Jesus loves you. He loves everybody. Here's a man that he already knew, and I don't want to confuse you or anything, what he was going to say, but yet he gave him the choice, and Jesus loved him. Now what happens? Listen. And this is Jesus. And said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, and take up the cross, and follow me. Now, did you hear what the prerequisite was to follow Jesus in this particular case? Let me go back through it. He says, one thing thou lackest, he said, give to the poor, okay? Whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor. So give away everything. And he says, thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And he says, come, take up your cross and follow me. So let me tell you today that there is a sacrifice to being a Christian. I mean, living the good life is not Christianity. That is the world's philosophy. Always has been, always will be. Christianity is trusting Christ no matter what He leads you into or where He leads you. And that's what he's explaining here. But now what's this guy say? He says, he didn't say anything, he just says, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. I think too many times Christians today, I'm talking about Christians, have so many possessions. Those possessions, they don't have them. Those possessions have them, because they can't go out and do anything God wants them to do. They're in bondage. Maybe it's they have financial difficulties because of those things that we all have to have. Whatever it is, we lose sight of following Christ and we hang on to the world's possessions. And I want to tell you something. Everything I got, it's deteriorating right now in my garage. You can go in there and listen. And the rust and oxidation are going shh on everything, you know. True. I kid you not. That stuff is not going to last. What's going to last is what we do for the Lord. And so often we get tangled up in our own self-destruction because of our desires. Jesus wants to change that. John 15, 7 through 9 says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love." He's telling them, we can have this if we'll continue to follow Him. So we can have freedom from spiritual death. We can have freedom from self-destruction, but lastly, we can be free from Satan's deception. Look back in John chapter 8. Go back to John chapter 8 for a second. I want you to look at verse 37. John chapter 8, verse 37. Hang in there. Lunch is coming up pretty quick here. John chapter 8. Look at verse 37. And I'm just going to read down to verse 47. He says, "I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham." He's basically telling them, you're not following Abraham at all. How do we know that? Well, one thing we know is that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac. He believed God would raise him up from the dead, but he personally believed that he was going to take that knife and put it into his son. And he was willing to do that. Why? Because God told him to do it. These people would not do that. Verse 4, he says, "But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." Abraham didn't do that. "Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, ye would love me." And he's talking about himself. "For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father," he said, "the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He is a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." So he point blank told these folks, these Jewish people, these Pharisees, that their father was not Abraham at all. Their father was the devil. And I want you to know today that those who are lost, regardless if they understand this or not, most people probably would not understand this. Today, people are not raised in churches very often anymore. Most kids go to college. They learn the world's philosophy. There is no God, so there's nobody to answer to. So if you tried to explain them this, they would have no understanding. But Jesus, as he has clearly explained to the religious crowd of that day, the Jews, he told them, "You're not following me. You're following your father, the devil." That means the world is following the devil. And you can see it in the way their fashions. You can see it in the way they promote different things. It's all about them. It's all about not serving God. It's all about putting everything else first other than God. And you see it over and over again. So he said, "You do the deeds of your father." And so he's telling these people that they were blinded by the devil. And they said they were following Abraham. And he told them that's not true. And so we see today there are many folks that are doing the same thing. And that includes Christians. Why? Because Christianity has been watered down so much. It's mixed up so much today that people don't even know what it is. That's why you go back to the Bible and find out what it is. Read the book of Acts. That's Christianity in the nearest sense that you can get to. That's where it started. That was where it was all about. And you saw what they did. You saw the point of their life was to live the life, surrender to God. In fact, they scattered and took the gospel all over the place when they were persecuted, the Bible says.
And that is Christianity. And we're just getting so far away from that now, today we really don't know what Christianity is. And God is looking for those who will trust Him and surrender everything to Him. Surrender your life. Surrender your spouse, your children, the things you own. Everything. Or else, we'll be deceived by the devil. And of course, it begins with salvation. It begins with renewing our mind. But it again, also agreeing with God by faith to let Him lead. We've shared Romans 12:2, but in 12:1, Paul wrote, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God." And he said, "which is your reasonable service." Man, that's a big statement. Presenting your bodies, presenting yourself. That's talking about dedication. Let's talk about dedication. You know, most of us can be dedicated to work. We're going to get to work. Most of us, our kids here probably don't go to public school, but most of you did. When you went to public school, you went every day, just about. Unless you were deathly ill and mom said, stay at home. Unless you were like some of us, maybe you cut a class every now and then or whatever. But you made sure you were there, right? And today we've lost that. When it comes to the things of God, we're not always there where we should be. And so that happens because of the dedication. It means to surrender to God. It's choosing to be holy. It's proving what is acceptable. It's growing in God's grace. Dedication is a moment-by-moment decision. God knows our choices. How do we? How can we be free from the Satan's deception? How can we do that? James tells us that if we will draw nigh unto God, He will draw nigh unto us. There's the formula. It's just getting closer to God. And God has put in place a lot of ways to help us. And a couple things, I don't have time to get all the verses, but He's told us that He's given things for us. He's given us His Son and the power of His might. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, all the way through 18. You can see we have power in the might of the Lord if we will put on the armor of God and stand as God wants us to. It's the Word of God that helps us. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's there for us that we might know who God is and walk close to Him so we can be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, He tells us. I might have left out one. Did I correction? No. Okay. For doctrine. But it's there for us. He's given us the Spirit of God. Everybody who's born again has that Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He's given us evangelists, pastors, and teachers, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through the rest of the chapter. He's given us churches to go to. Where are churches? Churches are where the people are. You are the church. That's why we gather together. Why? So we can learn what God's plan is for our lives. To know that God has something bigger for us than any one person. He's given us brothers and sisters in Christ to help us. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends." That's why it's important to talk to other Christians and go seek somebody if you have something. Most often, if you have a problem, it's in this church. You need to come talk to me first. But then you've got brothers and sisters in Christ here that can help you as well. Maybe you have questions. Maybe you have some doubts in your mind what it is to walk like a Christian. Talk to somebody that you believe is spiritual. And then we need to be strong in the faith to resist the devil's deceptions. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 9 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." You know, we always stop right there. I always stop there. But listen to what the next verse says. It says, "whom resist steadfast in the faith." It tells us that we are to resist steadfast. How? In the faith. It is the faith that we can stand against the devil. I can't do it on my own. God can do it. I can do it through God, by having faith in God and trusting God and walking with God, then I will be able to resist the devil. I'll be able to thwart him because I'm clinging to God. I'm holding on to God by faith. He says, "knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brother that are in the world." He says, you need to stick by the faith because you can see there are brothers People that you know and love are consumed with the world, and the devil has them. He says, watch out. So today I want you to know that we have freedom. Freedom from spiritual death. Freedom from self-destruction. Freedom from Satan's deceptions. There is freedom in the Christian life. But it requires that we just ask God for that. Ask God to help us by faith to cling to the freedom He's given to us. Today in America, if we were to give up, which I think we're heading that way real quick, we're tearing down our borders, we're allowing anybody to come in, we're changing our country from being America to whatever anybody wants to come in and call it. And we can see the destruction. Why is this happening? Because we've chosen to allow this to happen and we're going to lose our freedoms. It's going to happen. It's the same thing for a Christian. When we tear down the gates and we tear down the walls and we start letting the world in, we're going to lose our freedoms. Stick to the Word of God. Trust Him with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the freedoms You've given to us. We are so grateful that we live in this country that we don't have to face a lot of the struggles that a lot of people face today. But more importantly, Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ who died on the cross, who changed our lives and made us different, gave us the freedom from spiritual death, but also freedom from self-destruction. We don't have to live like everybody else. We don't have to have the same battles that everybody else has. There are a lot of choices that don't even need to be a choice for a Christian. Father, I pray You help us, and then also free from Satan's deception as he tries to misguide us, misdirect us, and pull us away from the things of God. Help us to know the difference between his lies and the Word of God. Father, we thank You for loving us. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.